everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number, 126 for Thursday, February 21st, 2013. Welcome to a very, very busy Android Central Podcast. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for the show and the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and a kind of sick and tired guy. I've been on the road a little bit this week. We'll talk some about that in a second. I'm going on the road again tomorrow for Mobile World Congress, and we've got just a ton of news right in the middle of it, right? So, from the site, we've got Jerry Hildenbrand.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we've got Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
I feel like we should do some witty banter, but damn, we got a lot of news, guys. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. You just want to get to it? Should we pretend like we've all said hi? Alex was in London on Tuesday, and I was in New York City with Andrew Vaca, and HTC launched the One. And it is now official. We can now talk about it officially. Jerry, I want to hear your question. So, I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, we did things a little differently. So we wrote kind of this big primer about, you know, here's everything that's new that you need to look out for, because there's a lot going on, right? And then we did our usual hands-ons and stuff. And so, Jerry, I want to hear what you think. I want to hear what questions you have.
I think that actually the biggest question I have is how good do the speakers sound in a quiet, you know, you guys didn't have a chance to see how they sound. I understand what it was like there, but that intrigues me. Putting front facing stereo speakers made a huge difference on the Nexus 10.
Right.
And I've often would thought, man, this would be great on a phone.
No, I've heard them and Alex, I think you did too at your briefing, right? So, I mean, we've heard them outside of a giant, you know, demo area like that. I mean,
I didn't know if I was allowed to talk about that.
Yeah.
Pretend.
No. We've heard them outside of a. And in fact, at the event, they had like a one of those not soundproof, but you know, with like sound deadening foam on the walls or whatever. So they had like a sound booth to show this off in. So I mean, it sounds pretty good. You think so, Alex? I mean, I still want to like actually spend time with it and use it and stuff. But it's not a phone that you're going to be embarrassed to let somebody hear music come out of.
No, sure, and there's a lot of technology that's behind that. I think HTC's always, you know, slowly been ramping that up ever since they first brought Beats in. And the three big things now, there's the built-in amp, which was in the 8X first. There's the bigger speaker chambers, the improved membranes.
Right.
They haven't just slapped a couple speakers on the front of this. There is actually some fairly advanced stuff going on behind the scenes, and if you use it in a quiet environment, it really can tell the difference.
Yeah, dual stereo speakers. By the way, and I think we mentioned it, but there is a notification light up in the top one if anyone's worried about it. I mean, let's go back to the basics. So 4.7-inch Super LCD 3 display at 1080p. The whole chassis is aluminum. It's actually one giant piece of aluminum, and I've seen the milling process. It's really interesting. They take a big block, and they start milling it out. And a couple steps into it, they inject some plastic into it and then, you know, layer in the PCB and then the battery and then the display. We've talked about that a million times. You know, really interesting to see. It's big. The buttons are as rumored. I mean, you've got a back button on the left and a home button on the right, and the home button's got a little extra functionality to it. You hold it down and you get a Google Now, double tap it and you get the recent apps. But it's a stretch. I mean, I hold the phone in my left hand most of the time. I'm not going too much longer, I guess. So... Yeah,
That was my other question is the aluminum chassis and how that's going to affect everything from Bluetooth to GPS to you know, cell signal.
I mean,
I'm sure they did a whole lot of study.
If you look at where the antenna actually runs, it's in the plastic trim around the outside of it, or you know, ceramic or whatever it is. The thing around the outside where it's it kind of separates the front from the back, even though it is just basically one slab. But it goes all the way around the camera housing. It goes kind of along the top. I think they planned this out pretty well. I don't think you're gonna have too much trouble with that.
Yeah, the plastic parts aren't the antenna themselves, but it has something to do with the antenna. We never got a straight answer on that. But yeah, I mean, it's all tucked in there, and it still has NFC, no wireless charging, kind of for semi-obvious reasons. I say that. I don't know the technical reasons why you can't have wireless charging with the metal back, but I assume it has to do with electricity and metal.
I can see consumers around the world being electrocuted.
Right. So there's that. I mean, it is a nice, solid phone. And solid's a word we use a lot with HTC phones, right? I think we always have. It feels good. It feels hefty. It's not a small phone. It's like if you take a 1X and you shave off this camera hump, that's gone now, by the way. And in fact, the camera's a little recessed, which is good. And just make it metal instead of plastic. It's nice. I mean, it feels really nice. I was telling somebody in the forums yesterday, they're like, well, we know Phil's already in love with it. And I said, well, you know what? I don't think it's fair to say I'm in love with it. I think I'm in lust with it. I don't know that you can just like feel it up for a few minutes and you know, marry it right away. but hardware wise, I mean,
Impressions mean a lot, Phil.
Yeah, no, first impressions do. And it's easy to, I think, fall in lust with this new tech, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I still have a lot of questions, right? I mean, Snapdragon 600 is brand new on paper. It's awesome. You know, I saw some people doing benchmarks for what those are worth, which is a lot. But I mean, yes, the new Snapdragon is going to bench higher than last year's Snapdragon. What do you want me to say? let's talk about the camera, I guess, and the ultra pixels and the Zoes. Oh. I got to get Brian Klugman, a non-tech, back on here to talk about that, because he actually specializes in optics. And so basically, I mean, resolution-wise, you have a 4-megapixel image, right? But the pixels on the sensor are bigger. Alex and I talked about this in the podcast we did for the event. And so you get better low light. A lot of people are worried about zooming in on the image and it not looking as clear. I don't know. We'll have to see. What do you guys think about that?
So my thing with that is that HTC's, I think, knows from optometrics or whatever else that most people, when they're taking a picture with the camera, it's not in ideal lighting conditions. And so they're edging more towards having higher quality, low light pictures. The question, I guess, is if you're taking a picture with what is essentially a 4-megapixel camera side by side with a 13-megapixel camera in bright, well-lit conditions, obviously the 13 is going to look better because even if the pixels are small, they're still going to be illuminated better. And it's, well, not necessarily better, but you're going to get more detail out of it, even if the pixel's small in a bright environment. So it's not a complete wipeout victory for the ultra pixel sensor, but I think HTC's definitely got the right idea when they're edging towards having bigger pixels and getting more light in there.
And we said this from the outset, there's a lot we need to wait until we get our hands on this stuff. And in fact, I kind of held back a little bit, I think, at least in New York. It's like, well, I mean, we could go over all this stuff with a fine-tooth comb right now quickly. But there's a lot of new stuff here between the ultra pixels and the camera and the speakers, and we'll get to the software in a second. I mean, there's a lot of new stuff here. So I kind of wanted us to take our time a little bit. We don't need to blow it all out of the water in an hour and a half in a crowded room, right?
Yeah, because the ultra pixel theory, I get it. Mm-hmm. If you make the sensor bigger, it can get more color and light information. But the key is, do they reduce the noise, or are they getting more noise? And you can't tell until you actually get it,
right?
And try it. There, people that say it's great, or people that say it's a failure, they don't know yet.
And in fact, you know what? So, we keep saying ultra pixels, and forgetting to say image chip 2 or image sense, whatever they're calling it these days. Optical image stabilization, which is a huge deal. So, I mean, there's other stuff tucked into this camera as well, besides just the larger pixels on the sensor.
And I think OIS in particular, if you look at most of the problems you get with smartphone photos, they're blurry, or you'll miss a frame, or it won't quite be in focus properly. OIS is just as important as all these other optical stuff,
right?
In preventing motion blur and that kind of
Plus, in the way that it's taking pictures. So, I mean, you hit the shutter button, and it doesn't just take that one picture, right? It's actually
That's where you got Zoe's coming to the picture. Right. If you shoot in the Zoe mode, you've got effectively 3 seconds of video and 20 stills that it takes in quick succession. So it's so much easier to get the shot that you want, the shot that's in focus, that's perfectly crisp, if you're shooting in that mode.
I'm also willing to bet that in addition to those 20 finished pictures, they're taking 4 snaps of raw data for each one behind the scenes. that would make a whole lot of sense with the, and Brian Klug, like Phil said, he understands the hardware, how this works. With the setup they have, they can sample the different color ranges, and I'm sure their image chip is fast enough to do it. So I'd like to see exactly how, you know, they're assembling the image.
Yeah, and something Brian actually did a session with us, not specifically on ultrapixels and all that, but on optics in general at that last HTC event I went to a couple weeks ago. And I mean, it was really interesting. It's not just a one-way process. It's actually a constant back-and-forth stream of information between the image processor and the sensor and just everything in between, right? So it's not just like it's not like DSLR is kind of a bad example, I think, but it's not just like, you know, an old school film camera where it just sees what it sees and that gets, you know, embedded into the film. That's a horrible explanation, but you know what I mean. So it's really back and forth talking. So it's you know, working with the data as it's coming in. And to me, that was what's really interesting. And in fact, I had no idea what all goes into the camera module itself. I mean, I had no idea that there, you know, basically five layers of plastic lenses tucked into these things, I mean, in this tiny amount of space. And so they really have to work to get, you know, four and five, and occasionally, I forget how many the PureView camera has, but, you know, five and six layers of lenses into these things. It's pretty incredible stuff that any of it works at all. So, yeah, I mean, I hate that I have to keep saying this, but we have to keep waiting until we get these in our hands. It was funny at the HTC stuff a couple of weeks ago. We're all at a dinner, and all the HTC guys are using the HTC One to take pictures. And I really get tired of saying HTC over and over again, but I think that's maybe the genius of naming the device that finally. We'll talk about that in a second too. but you know, they're all taking pictures and Zoe's and videos and all that stuff. And I don't know how none of us leaked it out, because we're all taking pictures too of us making dinner and things like that. And had to be careful. What do you guys think about the name? So HTC One, Alex and I talked about it the other day. I mean, it's, yeah, I think they should have done it a year ago. I'm less worried about confusing it with the other phones, because I think normal consumers, that's not a big deal. I mean, they're not going to see it and be, oh, what happened to the 1X? What happened to the 1V? Where does this fit in? Blah, blah, blah. It's just totally different. I mean, this is what, they're doing what they should have done a year ago. One device.
As somebody who gets inundated with tech support emails, I disagree as hard as I can.
Really?
Different phones need different names. Period.
Well, but we only have one phone.
No, you don't. You've got one for Sprint, one for AT&T, one for T-Mobile, one for EE, you know, one for just unlocked HSPA. They're all different from a tech support standpoint.
Okay, well, there's a question, and I don't know the answer. So with the Nexus line, you have the Nexus 4, but then you have the different code names. So you've got, you know, Majuro, and what are the other ones?
Toro Plus.
Yeah, I mean, so it's, yeah, I get that, and that works, right? Sort of.
It works.
A nerdy standpoint.
Maybe it works because only geeks bought the damn Galaxy Nexus. You know.
I mean, it's the same situation with the iPhone, isn't it? There's, I think, two SKUs with the iPhone. There's one that's CDMA, one that's HSPA.
There's three.
I mean, there are various combinations of the two. I know there's not just one model anymore. I mean, from a branding perspective, it makes sense, right? If you do what Samsung did in 2011, you just end up diluting your brand, and that's why we now have the Galaxy S3. On every carrier in the world, and not the Captivate and the Fascinate and all this other stuff. I think it's the right direction for them to go.
I just need to complain.
What's next? Software. So Sense 5, Android 4.1.2. I'm still on the fence on that. I really think we're starting to hit that time frame when something should have 4.2 on it. But I'm also not the guy developing it, right? So,
and I think I might have mentioned it on the other podcast, that if you're shuffling engineers around and they only have a finite amount of people and a finite amount of time,
right?
You look at where we were a year ago, and Ice Cream Sandwich is this big, huge update to Android. Now you've got 4.2, which is still Jelly Bean. There's not a whole lot of new stuff in there, especially if you're dealing with a skinned phone. So there's not the incentive there for them to spend time and money and engineers getting that onto their new phone where they could be tweaking the Zoe stuff or, you know, the camera tuning or any of this other stuff.
Well, maybe. I mean, some of that's different engineers, right? I assume. I mean, feature-wise, what are you losing out on? I mean, the obvious one for me right now, and it's a small thing, is a dash clock widget. Right? I mean, just because. You're not going to have that. But, you know, and there's another question. Is that something, even if and when the HTC One gets updated to 4.2, and nobody said anything about it, really, with the already custom lock screen HTC has, and you can add notifications to it, right? Would they want something like the stock Android 4.2 lock screen that's extensible? And I don't know.
It's going to be difficult for them. They've already got so much customization of their own going on.
Right.
And why bother with 4.2 until it works better?
Right, and that was actually the question I asked them, and I didn't really get a straight answer, but my question was, is it 4.1 because that's just the way it works in the time frame of developing this phone, or is it 4.1 because 4.2 was janky as hell? and they kind of evaded my answer a little bit. And I have a feeling it's probably a little bit of both.
Nope.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame we're probably not going to get a Photosphere on this crazy new camera for a while. Right. That would be quite cool to see.
I'm going to miss Photosphere. I say that like I'll never pick up the Nexus 4 again, or I won't carry two phones, just like I did at this point last year, right? But, yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be interesting if we get something with 4.2 on from Samsung in the next month to see what they do with that.
Yeah. I have a feeling Samsung won't have it either, or if they do, it'll have its own like proprietary version of it. Samsung,
I think they could maybe.
360.
Put 4.2 in the about screen and nobody would know any better and nobody would complain.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're listening, Samsung, do it. you've made Android your own, so you know, you could just put in 4.2 and people will buy it. They'll believe it.
What else? So you want to talk home screens? I know that was another one people have had a lot of questions. We've been kind of living in the HTC One forums for the past couple days. If you haven't been in there yet, come ask questions, because Alex and I are answering as much as we can. Home screens, basically, it's kind of pared down. So Blink Feed is the big one, right? That's the, everyone says it looks like Flipboard, and it looks like Flipboard. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. That was my question. There's a lot of people asking, can you disable it? I mean, I'm sure, you know, somebody's going to hack something out of it. I mean, you can just not use it, right? Don't add any feeds to it. There's a service HTC uses for the feeds, so you can't add custom feeds yet, which depresses me, because as far as I know, we're not on there. But, you get it. So you have, like, Blink Feed on one side, a normal-looking home screen in the middle, and then what was on the right? Was it the app drawer, or do you still have to hit the button to go to the app drawer? I forget.
Don't think it's anything to the right. You've still got to hit the button, right. I think. Because the way it works now is it's not a carousel like it was in Sense 4 Plus.
Right.
You start off and you've got the first home screen, that's Blink Feed, then you swipe to the right and get rid of it, and there's all your widgets and icons as usual.
Speaking of buttons.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of buttons, we got to talk about those too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, finish talking about the OS. You guys have touched it, and I want to hear it again.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to find myself hitting that HTC logo in the middle.
Yes.
And you over saw, and over again.
You saw me doing it in our hands-on. I don't know if you did it in yours. Mm. But
yeah. Maybe not on camera. Yeah.
It's familiarity, right? It's going to take a little while getting used to. It not doing anything. I tell you, that'd be awesome if, like, later down the road they somehow were able to add software functionality to it, which will never happen. But
they just had the hardware there but didn't turn it on, and then just pushed an OTA to freak everyone out.
I know. But yeah, it doesn't do anything. I mean, look, you had to put the logo somewhere, and where else were you going to put it on the front of the phone?
Why did you have to put it there at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say, that said, I'm looking at phones on my desk that don't have logos on them, and then I realized they're all Nexus phones.
Yep.
So I think there's your difference. I mean, the One X has the AT&T logo on it. The Optimus G has the LG logo on it. Those are, you know, US phones, non-US phones. There's an HTC logo. Had another one somewhere. Yeah, here's the European 1X. That's got the HTC logo on it. I mean, logos happen, right?
You think we're going to see an AT&T globe in the middle? Because that's just going to be confusing as hell, isn't it? That's
going to look more like a button. If you put a logo there that looks like a button, you're going to screw people up.
Yeah.
That's going to be real bad. I don't know. I mean, it's going to take some getting used to. And I hesitate to say whether I hate it, because I'm not crazy about the idea at all. But I'm not going to just damn it without having used it.
Sorry. It's more a spacing issue than a usability issue. I think it's easy enough when you've got a capacitive button to do a quick double tap and get straight to multitasking.
Right.
It's extra hand movement that you need to do to hit one of the most used buttons there. So,
The
only saving grace is they didn't put a menu button in there because I'm just that gets under my skin.
Well, yes and no, so, because you still have that horrendous menu pop-up down at the bottom.
That's because app developers won't update to the guidelines. That's not HTC's fault.
No, and we've been talking about it for years.
That's another Korean company that's encouraging menu buttons fault.
Right.
Mm.
But we've been talking about it for a year, so.
Yep.
What
you got to do is get all the companies to build phones the same way, with or without a menu button.
Right.
Is the only way you're going to solve that little black bar.
32 or 64 gigabytes of storage, depending on where you are. That's going to vary. And I can't remember. Have the U.S. carrier said which they're going to do yet? I don't think they did.
AT&T said they'll be offering both.
Both, okay.
T-Mobile and Sprint didn't say much of anything.
That's interesting, because Europe, I believe, is 32 only.
I mean, more is always better. I will never turn down more. You know, I think, on principle, if you have an option to get more storage, always get more storage, right? Because it's better to have it and not need it. But I think 32 is going to be really good, too. I don't think it's going to be a huge miss.
Yeah, I've got 32 on my 1X, and I've got, like, 27.9 free.
Right.
But like you said, it's there. If I need it, it's there.
Well, and what it means is I can finally actually put a decent amount of local music on my phone and use it on airplanes. I mean, I can't. Yeah. Actually, I say I can't. I probably could do that with my Nexus 4 and be just fine. Let me see how much I've got on here.
They didn't include an SD card slot.
Right.
And, you know, that's falling in line with the Google guidelines. You can't, you know, say much about that. But the smart thing was beef the storage way up because there's no SD card slot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was people's biggest problem with, you know, the Nexus or the 1X, that, you know, they only had 16 gigs of storage, and if you want to keep stuff locally, that may not be enough.
And it's not like flash storage is massively expensive. Manufacturers like to charge a premium for phones with more storage in, but it's the difference between, you know, manufacturing costs between 32 and 64 isn't as huge as they'd like you to believe.
And it's a 2-character change in the software to be able to mount both, so it's not a big deal. You're absolutely right.
I'm trying to think what else spec-wise do we care about. It's got aptX for Bluetooth, which is a big deal now. We've talked about that before. Makes everything sound better. Yeah, I mean, we just got to wait. I don't think we're going to get review units for another week or two, at least. Don't know when yet.
Oh, the $100 trade-in I thought was pretty slick.
Yes.
I think every one of us has an old beat-up flip phone or slider phone in a drawer somewhere. If you're going to order one, dig that thing out and get $100 off.
I was going to send them an HTC Cha-Cha.
I'll give you $100 for a Cha-Cha. I love that.
So I was going to do that.
But you could go to Walmart and buy a $29 Nokia, you know, straight talk phone and get $100 for it, you know, if you bought the HTC one. So if you're going to buy one, make sure you remember that.
What else? I mean, it's nice. It's, I think, like we said in our preview, there's a lot of really good stuff here, and there's some stuff that, you know, doesn't make me necessarily scratch my head, but I think I can see people having a problem with it, especially our readers. not so much my mom. I love the idea of Blink Feed for my mom, right? And this is what we were all in New York talking about. You know, my mom's going to set up Facebook on there and be done with it. That's it.
Yeah, like HTC always tells people in these briefings, most people either don't customize at all or they customize the startup and never touch it again.
Exactly.
So that fits with that kind of usage.
What else? What else? What else? Oh, the TV part of it. We didn't talk about that. In fact, I didn't even mention it.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Well, yes,
not so much in the US, but yeah. So we've got Sense TV, I think is the official name, ties in with the IR sender on the front, so it can connect to TVs and cable boxes and all that kind of stuff. They've got deals with TV providers set up, so it's I forget the name of the app, Phil, but it's essentially the same as.
Is it Peel by any chance?
It's Peel, yeah, that's the one.
It's Peel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for Craigslist stuff, and we just bought a Galaxy Tab 7, Tab 2, 7, off of Craigslist, and it's got a Peel remote app and IR Blaster. That's nice. We just threw it on the living room table, and it runs IMDb, you know, a couple apps like that. You can control the TV with it. That's really neat when you're watching movies, so that's going to be cool. Have that right on your phone. I'm down with that.
Yeah, and the thinking is, I guess, that a lot of people are playing with their phones or watching TV anyway. That's just a way to extend that experience, which is pretty cool.
And IR ports aren't going away anytime soon. You know, it'd be better if it was all IP-based, but it's not.
Right.
And it's kind of cool the way they've just integrated it right into something that's on the front of the phone anyway. That's a very, very neat design trick.
So that, I think, is the one.
You all have made me want one.
We'll have to get a few.
I would say you've got to go and play with it. It's one of those phones that you've got to go and play with and hold for yourself. If only for the build quality. It's if you're used to plastic phones, this is, I think, a big step up.
I think it's a big step up in quality for HTC. By the way, I'm looking at the pogo pins on this 1X and thinking, whatever the hell happened to that? Did the other one have it? Did the international one? The European? Yeah.
Yeah,
they're on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. So should we talk about the trip to half of the week?
One sec. They're asking in the chat room, and we really need to mention it, Verizon.
Yes. Nothing was announced on Verizon.
And do we read anything into that or not, Phil?
I would say Verizon didn't get the HTC One X last year, but it's not like they didn't get anything, right? They got the DNA.
Right.
Yeah, and the DNA is the reason Verizon doesn't have it yet.
One X.
Right, and you know the timing might well be the reason it doesn't have it. I don't know, and I would assume that the DNA is not going to get put out to pasture right away. I bet that thing's still got a little life in it.
I would even think there's possibly a decent chance of it getting the new Sense experience. I know that goes against the way HTC normally does things, but I think it might just happen.
And it would require Verizon to update a phone.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right, so that's the HTC One, I think. We'll have lots more on that too. God, it took like a whole 36 hours before somebody complained. HTC bought the site. Too many stories. Okay. Took longer than I thought. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's a good thing.
I know. I think it's a good problem to have. So Mobile World Congress coming right up. I fly to Spain tomorrow. Dan Rubino and Jay Bennett from WP Central will be there. WP Central will be there as well. Alex is coming out on Saturday. So it's a weird show a little bit since HTC has already done its big thing, and they're usually the big event for MWC. Asus, LG, ZTE, Huawei, Sony, and Samsung are still all going to have things, though, right?
Looking forward to see what Huawei brings. I'm dead serious.
We're not going to be bored next week, put it that way.
Nope. Nope, lots of good stuff. I'm sure of it.
The funny thing is, it's all over by like the end of Monday. But you know, there's a ton of stuff. I mean, Alex, anything in particular? I cannot speak today. Anything in particular you're looking forward to?
It's going to be interesting to see how LG's bringing things forward with the Optimus G Pro, and they got a lot of mid-range stuff as well. But that's really their first high-end thing of the year. Some pretty cool specs on there. It's a 5.5-inch 1080p thing. It's running the new Snapdragon 600 as well, so it should be cool to check that out. We got new mid-range stuff from Sony, which actually looks really nicely designed. Some stuff started leaking out on that. It's supposedly the Xperia SP. It's got this metal kind of shell, and if you remember the Xperia P and Xperia U last year had the light bar down below. They've kind of got that worked into a design that isn't completely ridiculous. So it's going to be interesting to see how they work that out, and because that was kind of a cool design feature, but it never really it was kind of a gimmick at the same time. So I'm interested to see what they do with the mid range stuff with Sony.
I'm looking for Sony to introduce a phone with some feature that ties into the PlayStation 4. The events are too close together to not do it.
Well, except there's no PlayStation 4.
Well, there is that. I mean, they're going to have an Android app. It's not just going to be Xperia. Sony doesn't have anywhere near the market share to make it Xperia exclusive. But they're going to have an Android app for phones and tablets. They're going to have an iOS app that lets you do all this remote viewing stuff so you can see what your friends are playing and check in on that stuff and buy games and all the rest of that. So I think the interesting thing will be if PlayStation certified consoles get the ability to hook in and actually do remote gameplay like the PS Vita can, because I think if that's something that kicks off, then that's going to be a big incentive for people to get on board with this PlayStation Mobile thing, which is, you know, it's only really been HTC that's done that so far.
LG is going to have like four phones, at least, maybe.
Samsung, I guess we're looking at tablet stuff mostly. Rumors of 8-inch Galaxy Note
8. Dead air.
Phil, take your cha-cha to Spain. I want a picture of cha-cha next to the Galaxy Note 8.
I can't find it. I don't know where it is. I've been looking all it. My wife cleaned up one of these trips I was gone, and I can't find anything now.
She probably, it's in the kids' toy box. She looked at it and said, this can't be real.
No, I've given it to them to play with before, so. So, I mean, that's MWC. It's going to be a quick one this year.
Intel, a couple months ago, they said that they don't need dual cores, but they're going to be showing them. You know, they're looking towards the future.
Well.
And
okay. Who's
Richard says that their stuff ran really good on the single core phone. So, you know, they weren't lying to us. They didn't need it at the time. So I wonder what they can do with a dual core Intel phone.
Yeah.
My question is, are we going to see that on anything besides a reference phone?
Probably not for six months or so. Yeah.
And is it going to be Motorola eventually that picks that up? We'll have to wait and see what happens with that partnership.
Well, and so much of what we see this week is going to be, you know, non-US, non-carrier announcement type stuff, right? Which, you know, I guess you don't care about it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the LG stuff is coming to the US. The Optimus G Pro is already confirmed. I think the Samsung tablets are pretty much going to end up over there as well. Sony, probably not, but yeah, it's going to be a mix of stuff.
And more, a lot of big news today, actually. So the Ubuntu Touch developer preview is now live. Jerry, I think we have to stress, I don't know how many times, but it's not going to be enough no matter what. Developer preview.
Right. This is not... Don't think that you're not going to be putting Android back on your device this evening if you flash this.
Right.
It's not anything you can use to do anything more than play with.
I mean, that said, you know, I've got it on here. You've got it on yours.
Yep, and you know what? I've been fooling with the SDK and building a few test apps. I'm going to keep it on mine, but because I'm going to be developing junk for it.
Right.
There's no way you can carry that phone in your pocket and use it for your daily device. Not enough work yet.
I was telling Jerry, I love the look of it. I love the orange and black. I think that's a great color scheme, especially on a black phone. It's so much smoother than what I used in a CES too. It's still not great, but it's so much better.
Oh yeah, early this morning when the when they found the old files for the old developer preview, I crawled out of bed and flashed it on my Nexus. I'm like, oh man, this is bad. This is really bad. And was a little bit leery, but then when the official ones came out, they're much, much better. Renee said, how does it compare to Mozilla, OpenWOS, WebOS, or Sailfish? It compares to Mozilla a lot. They're on the same, at least I thought so. They're still a little bit janky. They're a little bit slow, and not a lot of stuff is working.
I mean, it's, I haven't tried it. Sorry, go ahead.
Actually, speaking of MWC, we got Mozilla showing some stuff there as well, so that should be pretty interesting.
It's been a few months since I did that walkthrough of the Mozilla OS 2. I need to get Jerry to fire up a new one. I'm not rebuilding it. and see what it's like. That was a good, you know, half a day event for me. But I like the idea of these. I mean, this is really third-party OS stuff, right? And these are not OSs meant for you or me. I mean, hardcore nerds, sure. But this is really like emerging markets, like I'd say third world countries, but countries where the mobile infrastructure is nowhere near like it is even here, and ours sucks compared to, you know, look at Asia, right?
But Phil, before you get into that train of thought, now that you have Carbon Backup, back up everything on your Nexus 7,
yeah,
and install Ubuntu Touch to it.
Oh, yeah.
Look at it on a tablet and picture it when it's native and it runs a little bit better. This, with the right marketing and the right app catalog, this could be huge because it's really, really nice.
I think so. And, you know, you keep trying to sell me on Samsung doing, was it Tizen? Tizen?
Mm-hmm. TizenCentral.com. I got to do it.
I could see Samsung doing this or somebody else, right? I mean, they're going to characters are going to lock it the hell down, I think. But that's not necessary. I mean, this could really become the new feature phone, more so than even low-end Android phones have. And I might just be saying that because it's new.
Gee. Well, there's zero operating system cost, just like Android. So, I mean, this could, in theory, replace Android on every, you know, low-end phone. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean,
apps to why business? Bother changing
something that makes you so much money?
Yeah.
But I want to see Ubuntu Touch on the Nexus 10. I can't wait till it gets finished. It's going to be a year from now, but that's going to be, and I've been wanting this forever, a desktop Linux operating system on a portable touchscreen device. And when they get all the code unified and it works, I think it's going to be something really, really cool.
Ubuntu Central? Ucentral?
I don't think we're there yet.
No, okay.
If they say we're going to launch with 70,000 apps like BlackBerry did, then yeah, we better do it.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Not quite that many. Remember, a lot of these aren't going to be native apps for the most part.
Right. Well, BlackBerry and Android apps can easily be put in a wrapper.
Sure.
And run. So, you know, there's that.
The other big news today is the Chromebook Pixel is real. And apparently that leaked video from a couple weeks ago turned out to be not fake as well. Although that was still just a bizarre story.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you guys think? It's $1,300. We've ordered one. Jerry's going to play with it. And then we'll have to find something to do with it. I'm just saying. So all you guys out there, keep your ears open. I mean, it's $1,300 for a lot of pixels and a touchscreen and Chrome OS. I'm not saying I don't like Chrome OS, but
the problem is the last part, isn't it? You've got all this awesome hardware, and then it's kind of hobbled by this browser-based OS. And Chrome OS, as good as it's become, is still basically non-functional if you don't have an internet connection.
Put a 128-gigabyte SSD card in it. And then you've got $1,300 worth of hardware easily. I mean, I have no question that the hardware is worth it, but the way it sits now with no storage and no easy way to do anything while you're not online, 1300 is too much. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Renee, before the podcast started, was calling it the Nexus Q of laptops. Do you think that's that's a good analogy? I mean, harsh, but maybe true. I don't know.
I think that's the perfect analogy because everybody's been, you know, we talked about it and now we all want it, a Nexus Q refresh. We want to see what they can do with it. And I think the one thing this proves, this coming out of nowhere today, a premium product at with a big price tag, Google has some serious plans for Chrome OS. Google I.O. is going to be really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that's the alternative, that Chrome suddenly grows a lot more offline features, becomes much more of a fleshed out desktop OS at Google I.O. this year, and suddenly all this high-end software starts all this high-end hardware starts making sense.
How long has Google has Chrome OS been around now? 2 years?
It's been on the back. I think for a lot of that time, it's been on the back burner, though, hasn't it? It's only really come to prominence in the past year or so.
Brad Horowitz just did a piece on Google Plus talking about it, and just pixels.
Well,
I do want a Retina MacBook Air.
The screen on that thing, on paper, the screen sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Gorilla Glass, super duper high resolution. I'm curious to try out that aspect ratio, that 3:2, because I agree. I would love my laptop to have a taller screen.
Yes.
I agree completely. And, you know, I'm going to have a whole lot of fun reviewing it. I've got a fairly nice laptop with high end specs, and we can compare one to the other. You know, this is Windows 8, this is Chrome OS, and see, you know, give people an idea of, is it ever going to work for you, or, you know, is it just dead in the water?
Even if it's dead in the water now, I think you're right. I mean, they're obviously going in a certain direction now, and you know, Google often doesn't even hit a double on the first try. So we'll see.
Well, I think the telling thing is they at Google I/O, if they hand out all the attendees get a Samsung, one of those Samsung Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's telling that they really want to push Chrome OS, and we can look for it to really grow at the end of, you know, during the course of the year.
You don't think they'll hand out one of these?
I don't know. Can Google, I hate to say, can Google afford? Is it a wise PR move to give 6,250 people a $1,500 piece of gear?
Mm.
Are they going to get the return on that when they could just give us all the $249 Samsung? Although it doesn't have a touch screen on that, does it?
Right. And if that... I don't want to say that's the cool piece of tech right now, but I mean, because that really is probably the future, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I
now you've got don't know. For the HTC One and Google I/O. I want to see how all this plays out.
Yeah. What else? Tegra 4i has been announced. You're not going to see any phones till the end of the year, but that's basically smaller, still powerful with the modem on the die. So I mean, it's not unimportant, right? It's odd the way they kind of positioned it to us that Tegra 4 is for super phones and tablets. This is for smartphones. Okay.
I get it. The high volume stuff. You know, Samsung made a phone, they put a Tegra 2 in, and LG made a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
High volume phones, you can get the right price point with the 4i. The Tegra 4i will give you relatively decent performance and the right price point, whereas maybe if they put a regular Tegra 4 in it, they couldn't hit that price point.
Right.
And not move as many. So, I mean, I get what they're doing.
Okay.
I think the modems are really interesting development as well, because they announced that at CES this year, and it's essentially in the same way that GPU is programmable, you can program the modem with effectively different frequencies, right, from what I understand.
Yep.
So I think that's going to cut down on a lot of the work that's required, and it's probably, like you say, for high volume devices, that's going to be really interesting to see how that pans out.
I don't know. We'll see. And no devices before end of the year, at least. Something I didn't put in the script and should have is the quick charge stuff from Qualcomm. Kind of a big deal. So Quick Charge 1 got announced last week, 40% faster. That's through software only, and that's on 70-something phones now. Quick Charge 2, which, again, end-of-the-year type stuff, apparently. It's done halfway with stuff on the phone and the power management on the phone, and then part of it is in the wall charger itself. 75% faster compared to phones that don't have it. So, 2013 is not going to be the year of fast charging, but it sounds like 2014 we're going to, get a lot. And I tell you, we're not getting a whole lot new in battery life outside of Motorola, I guess. But I think quick charges like that, where you start cutting charging time in half at least, and to two-thirds, I mean, that's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, I guess that just tells me that if they make it charge faster, that means they can't make it last longer. That's like the booby prize.
Right.
That's the way I see it. And that's something that they just got to get a grip on. Any one of us can open up a game and wear the battery in a normal smartphone down 2-3 hours tops. And be a better user experience if that didn't happen.
Yeah, we'll have to see what the answer ends up being there. Because it's not just going to be... it has to be something besides just cramming more milliamp hours in there. Mm-hmm. It has to be something to do with efficiency. Right. And something. Yeah, it has to come from the chips as well as the battery. And to manufacturers' credit, they've done a lot in the past year, especially HTC, to put bigger batteries in smaller chassis. And you look at the HTC One, 2,300 milliamp hours, which is a pretty big battery. And it doesn't feel like a big, thick, bulky phone. It's very, very thin.
Yes, Jerry.
Yeah, I didn't mean to knock them. They've done a wonderful job. Even, the same size battery in a phone you buy today lasts much longer than a phone that you bought a year ago, from other innovation. I didn't mean to knock the guys. They work hard.
That little Netgear adapter I have that does Miracast and WiDi got an update. Actually got an update a couple weeks ago. And I just checked on Sunday, and it's actually got a second one since then. So it now supports like half dozen devices. I can't get mine to update, and I don't have time to mess with it right now. But if you've been on the fence, I guess you can give it a shot now. I'm still not crazy about just, mirroring my phone to a TV. I still say the way the Nexus Key is doing it is the way to go. But it's an option. If you really have to get it, you can now try it. I forget. Let me find the devices it's working on. Nexus 4, Nexus 7, I want to say the... no, not Nexus 7. Galaxy S3, Galaxy Note 2, Galaxy Note 10.1, Optimus G, Nexus 4, and various models of Sony Xperia devices.
So, does it do more than just Miracast, or did the Note 2 have Miracast all along and nobody knew it?
That's a good question. It does WiDi.
Okay, that's what HTC and Samsung use. They just give it a fancy name.
Right.
Use Wi-Fi Direct.
I have to double check this, but I'm pretty sure Sony in their stock standard Jelly Bean ROMs on most devices actually supports mirroring as well.
There you go. Anything else? I don't believe so. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we disappear for a few days? We'll be back.
That X-ray thing that you posted this morning was cool as hell.
Awesome. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, somebody pinged us on Twitter. It said, a friend of mine has got a Nexus 4 in the wireless charger and an X-ray machine. and he shot X-rays of them. So that was pretty sweet. And, it was interesting. Derek Kessler from WebOS Nation keeps mentioning how it looks like they could have weighted this thing down so much better. And I tend to agree with them. I mean, the difference between this charger and the Palm Touchstone, the Touchstone was actually sticky on the bottom, and it was better weighted, so it wouldn't come up with your phone. It also wasn't, you know, tacky on the front of it, right? So you just pick your phone off and go. The Nexus 4 really grips onto this thing. So, I mean, that's different. They're very, very different chargers. I think the Touchstone probably was done a little better. This one works okay, although I have had the phone slide off it once or twice.
I've heard other people say that. Mine's not sliding.
No, so I woke up and it had fallen off. So weird.
But then again, mine doesn't automatically slide off tables either, so I don't know what's up there.
I think that's it for this week. We're a little abbreviated, but that's okay, because we're hopping on airplanes again. So next time you hear from us, it'll probably be Sunday or Monday. That quickly, I know. From Mobile World Congress with Jay Bennett and Dan Rubino from WP Central. And not expecting any BlackBerry news, or, you know, God forbid Palm does anything again, or Palm's dead, HP. So, you know, we'll probably get a Windows phone, a lot of Android as usual, no iPhone, of course. And come home next week, do it all again. So, as always, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Shopandroid.com. If you haven't seen it yet, every time we mention it, somebody always asks, where can I get those awesome-looking Lloyd cases? That's where you can get them, shopandroid.com. Scroll down on the left, you've got the Lloyd gear section. And so they've got them for the Nexus 4 now. And we've got them for, what do we have them for? The Galaxy S3 and the Note 2. So, yeah.
I've got to order mine.
Yes, you do. Maybe I can send you one.
I keep forgetting. Yellow, please.
Yeah. And we have been hearing people saying they want them for the Galaxy Nexus, so please, by all means, keep leaving comments and letting us know, because that's the best way. And I've been passing those on to the store guys to make sure they see them. So we've got a whole bunch of goodness going on there. You can also call Shop Android at 888-468-6158. Didn't do any emails or voicemails this week, but if you want to leave us an email, it's podcast@androidcentral.com. You can also send us a voicemail that way, or you can call that same phone number, 888-468-6158, extension 222. If you haven't already, we're all on Google+ and Twitter. Just look us up. You know us. So, yeah. That's it. Alex, I'll see you in a couple days.
See you in a couple days, Phil.
Jerry, I'll see you in a couple months.
I'll try not to burn the place down while you're gone.
I'll talk to you before then. All right, everybody. Next time you hear from us, we'll be in Barcelona. Catch you later.
Later on.
See ya.